I'm Kiara.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Carter.
And we just three black folks who love true crime. This is the I Ain't a Killer podcast.
Hey, y'all.
Oh, hey.
I know. Sometimes the
thing is no time for that.
Not good morning.
No, we be talking to shit again.
It's earlier than normal for us, right. Y'all.
Yeah, absolutely.
A little delusional. How are y'all? I literally just woke up.
Okay.
I woke up at 9:40.
Okay, literally just
shower. And then while knocking on the door, I'm naked. Almost broke my neck trying to run down the stairs and open it.
Because I heard some creaks, so I was like, okay, maybe the door is open. I tried to open it, and then that's when they unlocked it. I was like,
when I was parking, I saw you standing outside. I said, how are you doing? I'm
going to wake them up. Well, surprise. I woke up.
Yeah, how are y'all?
Good. Finally. This felt like a long-ass week.
I don't know. And I took Monday and Tuesday off. It's been a long week emotionally.
You just left me in the office to fend for myself.
Oh, I was about to say, bitch, you don't go to the office, but you were in the office.
I was not. You weren't there.
I was not there. I asked Antoinette if we could do the thing virtually, but
whatever.
Then I'm just looking to sit there. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, this week was really cool. I got to chill out a lot. I beat my record. I'm up to 30 laps in swimming.
Okay. So. An accomplishment.
I looked in the mirror. I was like, I think I'm losing too much weight too fast. I need to start
weightlifting.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, cornbread and collagen. So.
Yeah.
But I was like, what? I just want to lose the midsection just a little bit. Not a lot. I don't want a flat, super flat stomach or nothing like that. I want all the fat to go straight to my ass. Like, I want to
That's the thing. I'm like, why can't we just say, okay, this is how I want it to readjust.
Yeah. Right.
Because instead, you be losing it in the one place you don't want
to. I ain't got no ass. No, shit was gonna happen. No, that's fine. I'm gonna hit the gym.
The only thing that ever bothers me is having a round face. I'm like, if that didn't happen, I wouldn't care about
anything. That's the first thing.
That is the first thing.
Yep.
I'm looking like a sixth grader.
2 pounds? It's 2 pounds on my cheeks.
Literally. The moon face. I like the moon emoji immediately. Like, come on.
I'm happy that this little shit is starting to like shrink a little bit. The little juice under my chin.
The juice. All of us are cheeky people.
This ain't going nowhere though.
This is my daddy right here. But that's cheeky was young. When we're 70, we gonna be looking like we're 30. So
all the bitches getting their buccal fat sucked out, and we gonna be
they're all gaunt.
Yeah.
Right. We're finally at like a normal
amount.
Perfect amount with 45.
No, that's real smart.
Okay, so we have a few reviews that we're going to read, and these are a few older ones, but we wanted to highlight anyone who enjoys the show. So this person is Danny WMS. They said, I'm only 6 episodes in. I've been listening on Google Podcasts, but I had to come here to make sure y'all got that 5-star. I love the chemistry between the 3 of you.
No.
Thank you.
I'm reading, that's like a consistent thing.
Right. I'm reading these off of Apple Podcast reviews, by the way. So this is Jay Lover. Sometimes y'all get...
And you better pronounce it right.
That's exactly how it's spelled, too. It's giving AIM. Sometimes y'all get on my nerves.
We get on our nerves too, Fred.
But I still listen and I'm still rate it a 5 because that's just what I do. Y'all have a great variety of different cases. Appreciate it. Okay, and this is from Iman. Imani's Mine. I think it's spelled differently than that, but I feel like that's how it's pronounced. It says, I was on CP time to the pod, but baby, I'm addicted in the best way. 3 black people being real about crime is my idea of a good time. Love the different perspectives and different ways of telling a story. Y'all got my support forever.
Aww, oh, I love that one.
So nice.
Right.
Thank you, everyone.
I love it.
That is so cool. Well, that's about as happy as this episode about to get.
Damn.
Because this main story is
not wrap up the joy.
Maybe that's why we need to start doing this. So yes, right, start with right. some good and end with some yeah. somewhat good.
Some comments. So, yeah. Some light.
Okay, well, we'll be back with the main story, I guess. Well, we usually just go right into it, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I guess that happened.
Let's go into
it. Hey, we're back.
I don't know what's happening.
It worked. So yeah, like I said, this story is really, really, really heavy. The only reason why I even continued with this research is because before this, I wanted to do Sean Penn. But all of the stuff that happened between him and Madonna and like his past with like assaults and stuff like that, it's been scrubbed. I can't find any of the shit that I used to read. So the thing that I'm finding is like, they'll be like, oh, you know, the Daily Beast had this specific article and like Newsweek had this specific article at this time, but it's all alleged. There's no like detailed account of what happened. And I know for a fact that I read something in the past about like, okay, he did this specific thing and this is the chronological order. So I couldn't find any of that. So I had to scrap it and find this story. And that's the only reason why I ended up continuing with it. Because when I got to the grisly details, I was like, damn, I should have stopped with Sean. Like, this shit is crazy. So, content warnings for cannibalism.
Oh, straight out the gate.
Listen, sexual assault and rape, extreme violence, murder, and body mutilation. There's some really just gory kind of details. So right before those, I'll say trigger warning, and then I'll go back into the details. So this is the crimes, life and crimes of Andrei Romanovich Chikatilo. And this is a person who's from the Ukraine. So I'm going to try my best to get these names right, but I'm going to refer to him as Andrei for the rest of the story. So Andrei was born October 16, 1936. I'm not sure what his horoscope is.
I think that's a Libra.
Libra? Okay, cool. Because I literally just was like zooming through the birthday and I was like, fuck, I forgot the horoscope. He was born in the village of Lablushna in Ukrainian SSR, which was, I guess, the occupied Ukraine under the Soviet Union. So when he was born, Ukraine was going through a really bad famine because Stalin forced all of the agriculture to be collectivized. I hope I'm saying that right. If collectivized is even a fucking word.
We understand.
Yeah. So basically his parents were sharecroppers. They were not paid for their labor, but they were allowed to own a plot of land and to, you know, harvest crops from it. His parents were both laborers who lived in a one-room hut. So all of the family was kind of packed in this really, really small space. When he described his childhood, he described it as being rife with hunger. He said that he didn't have bread until he was 12 years old.
Oh, wow.
Up until that point, he ate grass and just all kind of weird, odd things that he could get his hands on to stave off hunger. And the whole family did this as well. So they were pretty much known for being like very malnourished. So throughout his childhood, he was told by his mom that before he was born, he had an older brother named Stefan or Steven. And then at the age of 4, Stefan had been kidnapped and cannibalized by starving neighbors. It was never
because we're not gonna zoom past
for real, like this was a story that she repeated throughout his childhood, but it was never confirmed. So it's not confirmed whether or not this actually happened to this child or if this was a story that she told him to sort of like keep him in line or like scare him.
Like the boogeyman.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Okay, but what the fuck?
Right. Why?
Yeah, either
just,
way.
Just say there's a monster under the bed, like all of us.
Like, yeah, like everybody. Or there's monsters.
Or just like parent your child.
Yeah. Cannibal? Just tell them the truth and tell them about the scary horrors of the world. Because
y'all already live under fucking Stalin and we're starving.
Literal starving. I just hit grass.
In the late 30s and 40s. So absolutely.
It's given Charlie from the chocolate factory.
Please.
Eating that cabbage.
Oh, that's not. That's Oliver Twist.
So yeah, he
is it Charlie in the chocolate?
No way. Because why did I start think about Tiny Tim. That's what I thought you were saying.
You're getting your polo white boys mixed up.
Oh my god. Because they were saying, why was Charlie's grandfather in the bed his whole life? And then as soon as that chocolate bar
as soon as
came,
he had the opportunity,
he said, oh wait, I can walk.
He saw it come up. That bitch jumped out the bed and started skipping and hopping.
Holes will do anything for the bag.
Kicking his heels in the air. Bitch, I would have been so fucking like, pissed
you
off.
You could walk this whole fucking time.
Get a job.
If I was his daughter-in-law, that's what happened.
Get a job.
I would have been pissed the fuck off.
I'm taking care of four grown people and a child. I'm boiling cabbage leaves
and
for the fourth
in the
day
same
in a week.
Looking at each other.
Bitch, I'll beat everybody in your ass.
Y'all better win that motherfucking.
I would have been in the family. I would have been in the whole family. I would have left. I'm so sorry.
Oh my god. Okay.
No, I'm dead at you getting your poor white boys instead of fucking hilarious. Oliver Twist.
Tiny Tim.
Tiny Oliver.
Charlie. Tiny Charlie Oliver.
Oliver in the chocolate factory. So, when he recalled his childhood, he said that the war took a huge toll on his family because of the hunger and the poverty and ridicule. His father was drafted into the Red Army, and then he was later taken prisoner after being wounded in combat. So this caused him to have to stay away from family for a very long period of time. Also, the Nazis were coming into the Ukraine and occupied that territory, and that affected him really badly too. Specifically, on one occasion, Andre and his mom were forced to watch their own hut burn to the ground. And because his dad was at war around this time, like whenever wherever they lived, he shared a single bed with her.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is where you start to kind of see that like trifecta of like, you know,
obsession
with mom and stuff like that. He was a chronic bedwetter, and she would beat him every time that he had an incident. So that's kind of where you start to see like that first little sign of behavior, almost kind of like that head injury that we usually see in a lot of these other serial killers.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1943, she gives birth to a baby girl named Tatiana. Now, mind you, the dad is away.
Oh.
So speculation is that, you know, the Nazis would, it was just known that they would just like run through villages and like assault the women and stuff like that. So speculation is that a German soldier assaulted her, she gives birth to a child, and that Andre was present during this time, like in the house because of them sharing a bed together.
Mm-hmm.
So
he was present for the assault.
For the assault.
Ooh.
Which could have, you know, caused him some extreme psychological damage.
Yeah. Just give him Monkey Man.
Oh, I saw it.
Yes. Oh my God.
That's as you were saying that, I was like,
that's such a wild connection. I never would have thought of it. You still haven't seen it yet?
It's very
so fucking
good.
I want to.
I would watch it.
I would run it back.
Yeah. I've seen it twice and I still want to see it again.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Next week.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
okay, let us know. Y'all, we are not unhinged, okay?
We are, and it's okay.
I'm reading my notes. Yes, okay, a little bit unhinged. But, like, I'm just reading my notes, okay?
This is just
we're all friends.
Right, we're talking each
other. So he starts school in 1944. Again, he's malnourished for his so his size is very small in stature. He would regularly pass out at school because he was always hungry.
That's so sad.
So
hungry
so
children
sad.
Really break my heart.
Yeah, especially because of outside circumstances. Like it's not famine is always man-made. There's no such thing as famine. The earth has enough food for all of us, and
literally,
it cannot get it. Like that is so fucked up. Under any circumstances, that's fucked up. So he was made fun of at school, obviously, and that took a toll on him. But by the time he reaches his teens, he is a model student and he is a staunch communist. We changed that. Okay, cool. So he was appointed as editor of his school newspaper at the age of 14, and he became the chairman of the Student Communist Party 2 years later. So he was really kind of about that action. He had wonderful grades. Everybody's only like description of him was that he was just really, really quiet and really shy. So once he hit puberty, he noticed that he had chronic impotence, and that made him feel even more awkward, and it made him hate himself even more. Which, again, like, we're still in this super sad period where you can kind of see, like, this, I don't know, this innocence isn't being, like, cultivated. This is something that he's going through internally, and nobody's talking to him about it. If they had, this would have changed everything.
I wonder how he realized that. Like, I wonder if he was trying to have sex with people and realized it, or if it was, like, he was self-exploration and, like, couldn't.
Yeah. I wonder that, too. Yeah. And I'm guessing just because of puberty and, like, how we all kind of come into knowledge of our bodies, that he was probably, like, trying to, like, masturbate or just maybe saw something that did, like, turn him on or something. Yeah. And then, like, it just... he noticed that he didn't have a physical reaction.
Yeah.
So he had his first crush when he was 17, but he was always too nervous to ask her out on a date. So he kind of just pulled back from that. So trigger warning for the first, like, major incident. Well, major incident, I guess, internally that happened with him. He ended up tackling an 11-year-old girl to the ground, and while she struggled, he realized that he ejaculated.
Oh, whoa.
So this is kind of the first time that he realizes, like, okay, when this person is struggling or fighting against me, this is kind of what gives me, like, this physical reaction or whatever, and that stays with him for a while. On several occasions, he tried to have sex, but every time he was unable to keep an erection. He had his first girlfriend around this time. I think he's like 16 or 17 at this time. They went together for about 18 months, and then she broke off the relationship because he couldn't keep an erection. So he returned to his native, he returned to his hometown with his parents. They had a collective farm out there, and on that farm, well, I guess, like, on that village, but, like, kind of on the farm or whatever, there was another woman. They just describe her as the divorcee. They don't name her.
Damn,
I'm
saucy.
Just, so I'm hoping that she wasn't way, way older than him, but they get together, and they tried specifically three times to have sex, but he couldn't maintain an erection. So she ended up breaking it off. And in addition, she asked other people in the village for advice about it. Like, hey, how do you deal with this thing? Yeah.
And people knew they were dealing with each other.
So people knew they were dealing with each other. So then that made things worse for him.
Yeah.
So trigger warning again, he ends up attempting suicide because of this. He said that it made him so, so sad and so ashamed, and he didn't think that anybody would want to be connected to somebody who was so shameful as he was because of that situation. He knew that when he walked past women that they were talking about him. So he was like, okay, I don't want to deal with this social situation at all anymore. His family was the one that caught him hanging by a noose.
Ooh.
And they had to cut him down. And that's the only thing that saved his life. So, yeah. And that, of course, stayed with him into adulthood. So he moves to an area called Rostov-on-Don. Judging by the name, I'm guessing that this sits by a later river that's mentioned called the Don River. You know, like that whole thing that they do in Europe where they, like, name the town after, like, something on this river or something like that. I think that's what they
know. The public school system failed me. I have no idea what you're talking about, but I believe you.
So he moves there, and then his sister Tatiana, she finishes school 6 months later, and she moves in with him too. She stays there for a little bit. She says that she doesn't notice anything weird. She just noticed that he was super, super shy around women. She ends up getting married. She sets out on a mission to also find him a wife and to help him start a family.
That's kind of sweet.
Yeah, I was like, oh, what a good sister. I mean, you're not supposed to do that, but that's really cute that she wanted to do that.
Yeah.
So he goes on to work as a teacher at a boarding school. And while he's there, the kids kind of make fun of him because he, quote, has a modest demeanor. Which, again, is like this area of, like, yeah, he's kind of doing this fucked up thing, like him ejaculating when he tackles like the kid and stuff like that. But he's still kind of in this realm of like, he's still innocent and hasn't really done anything yet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so sad that like somebody so shy and somebody with such a like meek personality could go on to do the things that he ends up doing.
Getting picked on by kids is something else entirely.
Ooh.
Oh yes.
First of all, they are so brutal.
Count me out.
And then you can't fight them. And then they be saying the meanest, wildest shit you ever heard in your life.
Listen, you gotta get another kid to go and beat their ass.
You know?
Cause like for him to end up doing what he did, like they had to say some terrible shit. Well, not saying it's just on them, but yeah, definitely contributed to it. So he was also responsible for RA duties while he was there, and he would like go to the dorms just to check the kids being in their beds and stuff like that. And he discovered that like the kids were having sex with each other, and he said that it disturbed him to discover children doing things that he hadn't even done, even though he was 30 years old. Okay. So that made him feel really bad as well. So now we start to see some of the first incidents pop up that lead to later escalated behavior. We're going to start in 73 and kind of bounce around a little bit and then come back to chronological order. So in 1973, he is in a pool or a lake. They didn't really specify this, just said he swam. He swims toward this 15-year-old girl and he gropes her. And as she's struggling against him, he ejaculates. So months after this, he escalates a little bit and sexually assaults another teenage girl and beat her and then locked her in one of the classrooms.
At the school?
At the school. He was not disciplined for any of these events. Like, they didn't do shit. He wasn't suspended. He wasn't reprimanded, anything. He also ended up being caught by other teachers masturbating in classrooms in front of his students.
What?
And they still didn't do anything.
What? He was caught by other teachers?
He was caught by other teachers and they didn't do shit.
Oh, like, no. Nothing. No.
So the events just keep piling up. He keeps doing shit like this. He keeps, like, fondling students and shit
and
like
nobody's
that.
Doing anything.
Nobody's doing anything. So the reports start to pile up. And then, okay, now it's getting to the point where it's just, like, a lot. Like, it's a lot of reports. So they say, okay, you need to voluntarily resign or we're going to have to fire you after all this time of not doing shit. So he left super quietly and then got another teaching job. That job laid him off for staffing purposes, though. They laid him off because they were like, I don't know, I guess like overstaffed or something. So then he ended up finding another job.
With quotation
yeah,
marks.
Quote.
Staffing purposes.
Right. Especially because of the way that he left the other job.
Sounds like the Catholic Church.
Ooh.
Absolutely. That was so spot on.
Right?
That's exactly how it happens. They catch a case and then they just move to the next church.
Right.
And
right.
It's fully funded. They be paying for them to move and everything. Mm-hmm. It's fucking
I just
wild.
Rewatched Doubt a few weeks ago.
Doubt?
Oh my God. Yes, with Viola Davis and who's the white Viola Davis?
Oh, Meryl Streep?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I love being a nigga. I just love being a nigga.
Immediately.
I
really could not remember her name. I was about to call her the white future, but I was like, no, that's too much.
That's funny as fuck.
Oh my God.
No, I gotta look that up. I've never seen it.
It's good.
So yeah, I'm definitely gonna watch that. So yeah, he wasn't disciplined, but he does, later he ends up revealing that this caused him, well, he developed a desire to see naked children is how he describes it. So he starts hanging out by like public toilets and stuff like that, hoping to like lure kids and like offer them gum to, you know, have some sort of contact with them so that they would trust him and stuff like that. It's giving R. Kelly, like real bad.
Yeah.
And officially this leads to him assaulting three more girls, but there's no way of telling like how many girls he actually ended up assaulting.
Yeah, even with the gap between him tackling that 11-year-old and then groping that 15-year-old, I'm like, I'm sure other things happened between those two incidents.
Yeah. So he ends up getting fired again from this teaching job, March 1981. just like later on, because he has so many complaints of child molestation from both sexes. And I'm saying that as, you know, just because that's how it's described, but both genders are saying that he's doing stuff, but it's mainly girls. So just running it back to 1978, December 22nd, 1978, he lures a 9-year-old girl named Yelena to an abandoned house that he secretly purchased earlier that year. And this is when shit starts to escalate. So this is a massive trigger warning. So he tries to rape her, but he couldn't maintain an erection. So when she struggled, he choked her and then stabbed her 3 times. Ooh. And this caused him to ejaculate. And this is when he realizes also that when he stabs people, it makes him ejaculate. Now, I feel like this is very, I mean, even though he led her to a secret house that he bought, I feel like this is kind of disorganized because he left a gold mine of evidence. He left blood in the snow surrounding the house. Her book bag was found across the riverbed on the other side, which indicated that like she was thrown in the river from that particular area. Mm-hmm. Witnesses and like other neighbors and stuff said that they saw him at the house, and they also said that they saw him at the bus stop talking to the girl. But in spite of this, this doesn't like lead to him being like arrested or anything.
How the fuck?
I'm thinking that like whatever it is that they collected was so like circumstantial, and then because of when this is like the 70s, so they don't have DNA yet.
Yeah.
So they don't really have anything that leads them to like, okay, let's go arrest this person because this matches him specifically. Like they have maybe an idea, and this isn't even like me saying that this makes sense. I'm just trying to think like a cop, even though I can't.
And I was about to say, not trying to be the pot calling the kettle black because we live in the U.S., but I wonder what the culture is there around like sexual assault and like children and things like that. Because for him to be able to teach after literally masturbating in the classroom is that's something. Yeah. That's something.
Like, it sounds like a culture that just doesn't value children at all. Yeah. I mean, no culture, especially in the U.S., we fucking don't.
Yeah.
So I just can't really, I don't have any cultural context, but it sounds like they just don't give a fuck about kids at all. Because for this to not lead to an arrest with all of the evidence that they left behind was wild as fuck. Yeah. And he goes on to do a lot more shit than this. So just strap up and get some popcorn. So in spite of all this evidence, there's a 25-year-old worker in the area named Alexander Kravchenko. And he had already served time for the rape and murder of another teenage girl, which how did he even get free from that? I guess he did it when he was a minor because he's fucking 25. He was arrested for this murder. They searched his house and they found spots of blood on his wife's jumper. And the blood type was a match for both him and his wife. So I'm thinking that maybe there was some like DV situation going on, but they took that blood sample as like evidence that like he was at the scene or could have been at the scene. He had a super strong alibi. His neighbors confirmed that he was around. His wife and his friend, like, and their friend was like, he was with us all night. Like, mm-hmm. So everybody in the neighborhood and everybody in the house was like, yeah, he was here this entire time. And that still wasn't enough. They still needed, like, somebody to blame the crime on. So they got a bunch of false statements. They charged his wife with being an accomplice to murder. They charged her friend with perjury. And so under that pressure, he just confessed to the murder.
Damn.
So, Andre later admitted that this caused his urge to be so bad that he would cut business trips short because now he understands that, like, by stabbing and killing children, that it gives him sexual arousal. So, there's a 17-year-old boarding school student named Larissa, and she's standing at a bus stop around like this public library that he went to or whatever. He lured her to the Don River, basically just telling her like, we're gonna drink and we're gonna relax a little bit. Once they reach an area where nobody can see them, he throws her to the ground. He tears off her clothes and attempts to rape her. But again, he fails to have an erection. So this is another trigger warning because I feel like this is just grisly as fuck. He stuffs her mouth with mud to keep her from screaming. And he beats and strangles her to death. He didn't have a knife, so he mutilated her body with his teeth.
Ew. Oh, my God.
And a 6-foot-long stick. And there's other details and stuff like that in the wiki. I just kind of left that off because I was just like, fuck no. Like, we're going to share the details, but we don't need to share every single thing that happened. So he loosely covered the body with like leaves and branches and stuff like that. Later on, you know, as investigators described the scene, they said that it was, quote, unserious. And like, it looked like he just didn't care if people found the body or not. Mm-hmm. Her body was found the next day. So 9 months after this, he takes a bus to another village to purchase vegetables. Shut the fuck up. No, I'm sorry. Like, maybe under the context of like starvation and like maybe their cropping situation is still fucked up. Mm-hmm. But to me, like my first listen, I was like, no, you taking a bus to a whole other town just to, no, I'm sorry.
To grocery shop? That's not what you're
trying to stop kids.
Right.
So he finds a 13-year-old named Lyubov. They walk together for a little bit. He lures her. So they're good about a quarter mile, and then they get to this area that's like kind of shaded and just like secluded from any type of public, you know, witnesses or whatever. He immediately jumped on her, dragged her into the undergrowth. He tears off her dress, and again, it's the same MO. He stabs her, and then he tries to, I guess, imitate intercourse since he knows that he can't maintain an erection. When her body was found, they found 22 knife wounds inflicted to her head. They also found knife wounds on her neck, her chest, and her pelvic area. They found more wounds on her head, which meant that he attacked her from behind with the handle of the knife. And they also found a few, knife wounds, like around her eye sockets. So his MO is starting to be established at this point, but they still haven't like really leaned on the fact that like this is a serial killer. There's lots of injuries to eye sockets. And then you start to see adult victims as well. The adult victims aren't really taken seriously as usual with these cases because they're sex workers. Mm. So whenever these sex workers are found, it's like, oh, okay. There's a word that he uses. I forget. I might be getting it wrong, but I think he called it the class elements, which is basically like the underclass or like the underdog.
Or the less dead.
And then when he does this to kids, he usually does it to girls and boys. So with adults, he sticks to women, sex workers, and then with kids, he's like, you know, targeting everybody. So between July and September 8, 1982, he has 5 more victims between the ages of 9 and 18. His pattern is like always approaching children, approaching runaways, drifters who are at like bus and railway stations. He'll get them to like a nearby secluded area or a forest or something like that. And then usually he ends up either stabbing or slashing them with a knife. And then there's lots of wounds around the eyes. I'm sorry, y'all. I had a coke. My bad. So lead investigators are now coming to the conclusion that he's gouging out the victim's eyes. And that's why you see so many, like, I guess, I don't want to say the stratification or striations. I don't know how to say the word. But around the eyes. So with the adult sex workers, what put him into a rage even more so than not being able to maintain an erection is when they make fun of him. And this is just speculation, but I think that's also why he targeted children, because I think grown women, especially sex workers, they feel a little bit more freedom to kind of like maybe take a dig at him or something like that. But
he said, get your weird ass the fuck out of here.
What the fuck are you doing? And so he said that this sent him into a rage. And then that is when he would like stab the sex worker who would like make fun of him or whatever. So December 11th, 1982, Andre approaches a 10-year-old girl named Olga. She's riding a bus to her parents' house, and he convinces her to leave the bus with him. Again, like, a 10-year-old riding the bus by herself, like, that's wild. This is a completely different culture.
I feel like that's something that used to happen here, too, though.
What, 10-year-olds riding the bus? Oh, wow.
I mean, in smaller towns.
Yeah. I just never seen it or heard of it. 10-year-old. Like,
maybe 10 is young.
Yeah. I was going to say, just thinking about my nephew or 18-year-old.
This is in, like, the 80s now?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, this is 1982.
I'm trying to think. My dad always tells me that he would just be all around Atlanta. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about. Like, when he was a kid, and just make sure he's home before it gets dark, so.
My dad also had siblings.
I did not.
He's just not in a bopping.
That's just not something that I can imagine, like, being I think that's also just because of my personal experience too. Like, if I was 10 years old and I tried some shit like that, my mama would literally kill me, like, not even joking.
Yeah,
I was like, yeah, I could just hop on Martin, and she would be like, bitch.
I definitely was running the streets alone in middle school. How old are you in seventh grade?
I was like 12.
Okay, so I was running the streets by myself.
Okay.
Fully, like, all day long.
Well, I guess that's not too far-fetched then. So she gets off the bus with him. The last person to see her was a passenger who reported that a middle-aged man had led her away, quote, firmly, by the hand. Again, why nobody said anything?
That's not like you saw it. Why didn't you do? I mean, not that they could have really done much, but
fuck out of here.
Especially if she wasn't on the bus.
Do you know this man?
Yeah.
If she had said no, okay, yeah, you're going to get the fuck out.
Snatching you the fuck up. Like, so he lured her to a cornfield on the outskirts of the city. Trigger warning again, because this gets really bad. He stabs her over 50 times. Around her head and her body. Okay. He rips open her chest and pulls out her lower bowels and her uterus.
What the fuck?
And this also becomes, I guess, another part of his MO that you don't necessarily see earlier. You see this a few more times in, like, other people that he disemboweled. So, by January 1983, he had 4 more victims, and by now, they understand that they're linked to the same killer. Why they don't understand
now?
This before? Yes. Now. Sometimes when I see this in shows, I be thinking they're, like, exaggerating. Like, oh, we don't want to make the public panic. We don't want to say it's a serial killer. Make the public panic. Make them stand them out. Like,
I would rather be panicked over nothing than not know there's a serial killer in my streets.
Find out literally 25 years later.
Right. They killed 50-some people.
And they got a whole fucking wiki page about them. What the fuck?
No, let me panic. I'll be all right.
It's way better to panic than to be fucking murdered. Or your child be murdered.
Right. The fact that it's even legal for them to withhold that kind of information is actually wild. Yeah. Like, I get that you don't want to fuck up an investigation, but also these are people's lives.
Yeah.
Like,
how is that just a decision made by a human? Like, there should be regulations around that.
Right.
So he doesn't commit any more murders until June 1983. So I want to say this is like maybe 6 whole months where there's no crime. And he approaches this 15-year-old girl. She's Armenian. They, I guess, made sure that that was like a very specific detail. Her name is Laura. And he kills her with the same MO. And her body was found close to a railway platform. So cops think that this is like a group of people. They have a whole bunch of different theories. They think that it may be a group of people harvesting organs to sell for transplant. They think it might be the work of a satanic cult. They think that it might be a mentally ill person. They just have all these theories about it maybe being a pedophile or somebody who has spent time in like a psychiatric ward. So they start looking at all of these different people who spent time in psych wards, but then they also look at people who've been convicted of homosexuality.
Now,
and I'm just like,
come on,
are you fucking serious?
Like, first of all, convicted of homosexuality.
It's wild. Crazy. I'm going to jail.
Right.
That's wild.
Locked up. Immediately.
What? Also, this is is just a completely different side note separate from this case. I don't understand how you convict someone of homosexuality and then you lock them up with people who have the same genitals.
Yeah.
What the fuck you think they're gonna be doing?
Right.
That doesn't make any sense. Okay, right back to the So a whole bunch of young men start to come out and confess to the murders. Why? I don't fucking know. Maybe they need a place to sleep or some shit. Maybe they just want the clout. This is 1980s in Ukraine, Russia. I don't fucking know what's going on.
These people are deranged.
Because falsely confessing to a fucking murder?
That kind of murder.
No thanks.
Like, okay, maybe I could see how it could be exciting to be in the headlines for, like, something, like, some kind of criminal activity. But this kind of criminal activity and then this kind of murder?
Yeah, no.
Like, no. Chewing people open?
Yeah.
No.
Disemboweling people?
No.
You would have confessed and then they would have told them the details and they're like, oh, no, I didn't do that. Like, now what you gonna do? Right. You already confessed to it. Mm-hmm. Stupid. So, oftentimes, like, the person who would, like, confess to the murder was someone with a severe intellectual disability.
Mm.
So they immediately were just like, no, like, you obviously didn't do this. You don't know any of the fucking details. You have this major disability that would leave you, like, not able, like, physically unable to do all of this shit. But in the process of investigating all of the different false confessions, they end up solving. I want to make sure I get this right because I wrote it and I read it and I still want to make sure that I say this right. They end up solving 1,000 unrelated crimes because they were investigating this shit. Like, well, all of the different, like.
So they just wasn't doing shit.
They wasn't doing a
fucking thing. So they wasn't doing anything at all.
And that's why I said I had to, like, reread it. Even though I'm the one who typed it, I still had to do my eyes like this.
1,000?
1,000. Including 95 murders, 140 aggravated assaults, and 245 rapes or assaults. Because of this situation. And because they
couldn't their work,
so now they're solving all these unrelated crimes and uncovering all these fucking bodies and shit.
If somebody has 1,000 charges on them, like, okay, we need to look. What's the
is this
how?
I just don't know. Is it one department? Is it all of Russia? Like, I don't fucking know.
Y'all need to be on trial globally.
Y'all need to be on trial.
Because who y'all protecting and serving? Y'all fucking self? Like, I don't know.
They're maintaining the status quo for the powers that be everywhere. That's what all cops do.
Another reason why the false confessions ended up being thrown out, I mean, other than the fact that, like, these people obviously didn't do it, is because the police have such heavy-handed, like, tactics that it's causing people to commit suicide.
Mm-hmm.
So there were 3 people who were, quote, known homosexuals and a convicted sex offender who committed suicide because of these heavy-handed, like, tactics that they use to interrogate people. So the bodies of Vera Shevkun and Sergei Markov were found. He starts to move his MO from the Don River to something called the Park of Aviators. This happens in January and February 1984. And then 2 more women were found in this area as well. On March 24th, he lured a 10-year-old boy named Dmitry Tashnikov away from a stamp kiosk. And then with the same MO, his body is found days later. But he leaves a footprint at the scene, and he also leaves semen and saliva on the victim's clothing.
At this point, he's like, what are y'all doing?
Yeah, this doesn't give a fuck because he know they're not finna do shit, right. Or just doesn't really figure that they about to, like, connect the dots. May 25th, he kills a young woman named Tatiana. Same name as his sister. I don't know how the fuck. I mean, maybe he doesn't even know their fucking names. And her 10-year-old daughter named Svetlana in a wooded area outside of the village. So by the end of July, he had killed 3 more young people between the ages of 19 and 21, and he also killed a 13-year-old boy. August 2nd, he kills a 16-year-old girl named Natalia in the Park of Aviators. 5 days later, on August 7th, he lures a 17-year-old girl named, I don't want to say this name wrong, Lyudmila on the Don River. And he said that he was showing her a shortcut to the bus station that she was going to. And then her body was later found with the same MO. She had over 39 slash wounds, and he had mutilated and disemboweled her. Investigators noticed that he inflicted wounds that he knew would kill them immediately. Mm-hmm. So he's keeping them alive to basically torture them. And her body was found the following morning.
He's so active,
and they're not like, there's nothing that they like, you'll see. Hours after this murder, he returned to his village, and he killed an unidentified woman and her 10-year-old a 10-year-old girl named Akmara. 2 weeks later, the body of an 11-year-old boy named Alexander Chapel was found naked on the Don River. He was strangled, he was castrated, and his mm-hmm. eyes were gouged out. And just yards from his body, well, another body had been found. He killed a young librarian named Irina in the Park of Aviators. So not only is he active, but it's the same two fucking areas.
Right. Why don't they just have people in those parks?
You know, that seems like a simple solution.
It does, but do police ever take the simple solution?
No.
I don't think they do. They gotta go guns ablaze or nothing.
Quite literally, no.
So undercover police start to follow him, and they notice that he's talking to girls in the area, so they follow him home as well. And then they notice that, like, on the way, he's doing this thing that's called frauderism. Frauderism. I've never heard of this, but basically, it's where you just rub your pelvic area on people. Usually, people do it with an erection, but for him, it was just like him rubbing his body on people.
So that made my like skin crawl.
Yeah, gross. It just makes me feel like I'm covering mucus or something. He was arrested and he was held. They searched his belongings. They found a 20-centimeter knife. They found a bunch of rope, and they found a jar of Vaseline. Which he should be arrested for immediately anyway. Because why the fuck do you have rope and Vaseline on you? I'm sorry. Anyway, he was under investigation for theft at his job. And so that gave them permission to keep him a little bit longer. They took blood samples, they took saliva, blah, blah. But his blood samples came back type A, and the killer was type AB. So they ended up having to let him go. From 1985 to 1990, because they let him go, he was able to kill 20 more people. His MO is the same. He approaches young women who are alone and kids and engaging them in conversation. So they start to follow him again. Why are y'all waiting until after he kills 20 people? I don't fucking know.
Because if you're following him and he's literally just walking down the street tossing bodies left and right, how are you not catching him?
Yeah. Should catch him off the first one.
After 6 days of following him, they finally arrest him, and he told them immediately, like, hey, I've already been arrested for these crimes. You can't keep me, this, this, and that. But this time they notice that he has a very deep gash on his finger and that he had put iodine on it. So the medical examiner concluded that this came from a bite. And this is because his last victim broke one of his fingers and bit the fingernail off and then caused a bite mark on that finger. So at this point, they know that it's obvious that he was the killer, but the blood type still isn't adding up. So they take his blood again, and they notice that his semen is type AB, but his blood and his saliva were type A, which is why his blood and saliva didn't match the first.
How is that possible? I mean, I don't know.
I don't know if this is, because they don't talk about his diagnosis, but there is a thing called chimera, mm-hmm. where a person can have two different blood types or like
sets
two,
of DNA.
Two different sets of DNA.
Oh.
And it may happen. Well, I know one of the times that it could happen is when you have a twin that you absorb in utero.
Okay.
That's the only cause that I know about. Other than that, they didn't say anything in this about it. I just already know about that because I was obsessed with the word Chimera after the Tom Cruise movie.
It would make a cute name. y'all know how we talk about how dismembering somebody and cutting off somebody's head is like way, way up there. Yeah. The things that like you couldn't power through.
Yeah.
How the fuck do you bite through somebody's flesh?
Oh, no, no, no.
You have repeatedly to, like rip somebody's flesh with your mouth. That is...
I don't know.
It's making me gag.
I want to be careful with dehumanization, but like stuff like that makes me think that there's a species of human that we don't know about.
Or like in some, that movie, Split.
Yeah, like there's something about humanity that we just haven't really discovered yet, and I think that shit like that is part of it.
I think that humans just want to believe that we're not animals, and I think the sooner we accept that we are, and that creates a wider variety possibility for how we behave, the better off we'll be in understanding each other.
Not that part of it, I'm sorry.
I mean, not accept that part, like that behavior, but like in understanding that behavior.
Yeah.
And approaching shit like this with that understanding, this is very animalistic. Like this is
primal.
Yeah. Something, some whole other shit. So he's still denying that he committed any of the murders.
If you don't get this, fuck.
Yeah, and they're like, girl, we got you, like dead to rights. He did confess to molesting several of his students when he was a teacher, though.
That's the thing you decided that you would be cool with?
Oh, I didn't kill nobody. I just molested a few.
Yeah. I mean, shit, they was letting him jack up in the classroom, so he knew that he wasn't going to get in trouble for it.
Oh, what? I'm just like, huh?
Or he probably thought they already knew that part.
Right, because he was fired for it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where I get that déclassé elements from, like when he describes his victims as déclassé, like they're just like underage, they're homeless and they're runaways and stuff like that. They're sex workers. They're like beneath us. So on November 30th, he's formally charged with 36 murders that he confessed to. And they all happened between 1982 and 1990. Over the next few days, he confessed to another 20 murders.
Wow.
On top of the ones that they formally
charged. How does he even, I don't know. I was going to say, how does he even keep track? But I'm sure that that's like an exciting thing for him.
Yeah.
I'm just, I don't wish I knew, but it is wild. Like it's fascinating. To try and understand like how you... I guess it's kind of like people who know exactly what their body count is. Like you remind
me. And don't.
Side note. Okay, I had a note in my phone. I don't know where the fuck it is now. Somebody deleted it. Whatever. But yeah, I had like a little. It was just to be funny. Like, and then I realized that it was way shorter than I thought it was. I was like, oh.
No, I tried to write mine out one time. I was like, damn. Oh, and I love and I don't even remember their name. I guess I'm just going to write down Black Fitted.
Not Black Fitted.
Throw it away.
That is funny. But yeah. Well, so I'm guessing it's like that, but like way more sinister.
Yeah.
And I'm also thinking that like a situation like this is way more like this stuff like this would be burned into your brain if it went this far. We've never done anything and never will do anything this grisly.
No.
So we will never be stimulated to that height, like ever. So they did a psych eval and it came out that he has borderline personality disorder with sadistic features, but that he was fit to stand trial. So they added the other 20 murders that he confessed to, April 1992, in addition to 5 charges of sexual assault against minors because of what he did when he was a teacher.
Oh, wow.
So this was the first major media event post-Soviet Russia. So when the USSR fail. Now it's a capitalist country. They can like sensationalize the news and shit like that. So they like portrayed him as this demon. He's this cannibal, which I mean, they're not fucking far off. There's this picture of him. He's like bald and I don't know the way that they like took the picture. It just made him look really like unhinged. Like even his eyes just don't look like a human. It's kind of uncanny a little bit. So the judge sentenced him to death plus 86 years. Damn. I don't know how the fuck you do that.
I was about to say.
That's, I guess in the afterlife, his ass gonna be in jail too.
Like, don't even come back. Don't get reincarnated before we get up out of here.
Gonna be in jail, we come back.
You know? I'm gonna put the baby in jail.
No, for real. When he heard the verdict, he kicked his bench across his cage and started cussing. And I'm just like, what the fuck did you think was gonna happen?
Yeah, what did you expect?
What did you expect was gonna happen?
You were gonna go back to teaching? That's probably what he thought.
He probably did think that.
I'm gonna change my life around. No, fuck you not.
I'm gonna mentor students.
It's over, sweets. It's a wrap. The judge said when he sentenced him, he said, taking into consideration the horrible misdeeds of which he is guilty, this court has no alternative but to impose the only sentence that he deserves. I therefore sentence him to death. And on February 14th, 1994, Andre was taken from his death row cell to a soundproofed room in, I'm not even going to attempt to say this word,
somewhere else.
Prison. In prison. And executed with a single gunshot behind his right ear.
Ooh, that was nice.
I'm saying, like, damn, y'all finally did something right. And that was the end of Andre Romanovich Chigatilo. And
That is a terrible man.
Terrible, terrible fucking man.
Ooh.
And who knows how many other victims he had that he didn't confess to or didn't remember before.
That he threw in the actual river.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's horrible.
Yeah, my kids are never going to boarding school.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I've never heard a single good story about boarding school.
Zoe 101. But actually, now that the damn documentary came out, it was pretty shitty.
First of all, I never watched a single episode of that show. You kind of broke my brain for a second. I was like, Zoe who?
Zoe 101.
I was going to say, the only I'm thinking of the Young Royals on Netflix, but I was like, damn, they fucked up too. I'm like,
no, yeah.
Every boarding school, because I mean, it's basically just a bunch of kids, and it's like, what, 30 kids to one adult? Like,
yeah, no, I need to be able to put eyes on you.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Because if you come home and you start acting different, there's something I can do about it. Mm-hmm. But if you're in a whole another state, living with a bunch of other kids and these weirdo teachers.
Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. And then, like, you know, that those documentaries that just came out about those schools that were supposed to be boarding schools, but they weren't, like, Paris Hilton went to.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
What's it called?
I think there's two of them.
What?
It's on Netflix.
It is. And it's...
I'm going to find it.
It's interesting.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I'm going to find it.
It's like a disciplinary boarding school. Or it's like a boarding school for bad kids.
Wayward youth.
Yeah. And...
they still operate them, like, to this day. And it shit's was fucked like up.
Culty, fucked up shit.
They use literal brainwashing tactics and physical violence to keep these kids in line.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Oh, that was a terrible
story. No boarding schools.
No.
What? Oh my god. Well, I guess we'll be back. Should this be a problem?
Alright.
Should this be a crime?
All right, so what happened, y'all?
All right, so I saw this TikTok. I don't remember the guy's name, but of course we're going to share the TikTok in the resources. But basically, he lets his students take down his hair in class. He details that, you know, like, it's the end of the year. He gives his students a lot of downtime and stuff like that. And he cultivates relationships with his students. He always tries to make them feel comfortable, always tries to make them feel affirmed and things like that. So he took the necessary steps to, well, according, this is specifically what he said, took steps to make sure that they felt comfortable and make sure that, like, everybody was done with their work and stuff like that. He said he had a hair appointment, like, immediately after school. And so I'm not exactly sure if he offered or if the girls was like, oh, yeah, we can take down your hair or whatever. And so he allowed them to take down his hair. So what he did was post it on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he has, like, over 700,000 followers.
Oh. Does he do, like, teacher content?
Yeah, I think he does, like, teacher content. And, you know, the rules are a lot looser when you teach at, like, a charter school.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, with school choice, it's not being left up to educators to run like the rules of the school or whatever. So it's a little bit looser, which is, I guess, like a benefit, but also kind of like a downfall in some areas or whatever. So the internet is split. Like every other tweet I see about it is like on either side. There's on this, there's one side that's like, oh, there's nothing wrong with it. Okay, whatever. And then the other side is like, no, this is groomer behavior. This is like super inappropriate. If this was my daughter, I would not like this and stuff like that. I'm not sure if y'all saw the TikTok or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not scared to share my opinion, but I gotta want to hear y'all's first.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know. I came across a TikTok of somebody talking about it, and they were saying that they used to be a teacher, and the male teachers would go so far as to have a woman teacher in the room when they were interacting with just them mm-hmm. and a young girl, and just to like say, make sure that they were safe because they cared about their job and their students like that much is how she phrased it. So she was saying that it was inappropriate. She was saying that there are teachers that will go through lengths to make sure that things don't even look off. Mm-hmm. And that the fact that he didn't even have the wherewithal to recognize, even if the intention wasn't bad, to recognize that recording that and putting that online was going to result in it have a negative result was weird. She also labeled it as servitude. That the young girls were serving him, mm-hmm. which I thought was an interesting perspective. Mm-hmm. So I still, I don't know, but I saw that and it made me think. So I wanted to throw that mm-hmm. in there.
I have so many thoughts.
Same. So many thoughts. Okay. First and foremost, I do think it's sad that we can't have spaces where adults have relationships with children that are like authentic and genuine. Like, you know, like, I think about like taking down somebody's hair at your grandma's house, mm-hmm. like because yeah. they about to get their hair rebraided, and like you don't do hair, but you just there, you just do it. Like that's yeah. just that's such a deeply Black thing, mm-hmm. I feel like. But I do think it's interesting that they are little girls, and I do think it's interesting how we perceive like who's supposed to be doing that kind of labor. Mm-hmm. I do also think it's inappropriate to be doing it at school. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just not the nature of what y'all's relationship should be to one another. Mm-hmm. But I do think that school is such an important place for children. Like, that's where you have your other, like, attachments as a child outside of your parents. You spend so much time there. Mm-hmm. So I do think that, like, those relationships do become intimate in the way of, like, those are people you seek out guidance from. And, like, you take your lunch to your favorite teacher's classroom and y'all talk about, like, real shit. Yeah. And I do see how that could become a part of that. I don't think it maybe was the best choice. And then the biggest, most ridiculous mistake, why the fuck are you recording anybody's children and putting them on the internet?
That's the thing.
Teacher content yeah. should not exist. Yeah. I'm it so should. Sorry. And it that's should
when,
not.
When yeah. you were talking about the charter school stuff, I was like, yeah, if I ever come across a video of my child.
My child? Their whole face?
The whole place. I'm blowing up the whole face. The yeah. whole place.
What?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's so common. It's yeah. so common on TikTok.
Now, and I don't think that he's a... intentionally trying to groom them. I think it is ridiculous for him to be shocked that people are upset though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Did you not think at all? Mm-hmm. Like you thought just, and even if it stayed within your followers, 700,000, mm-hmm. you thought nobody's gonna have something to say about this? Like, right. should you be teaching? Because your critical thinking skills are lacking, sir. What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely agree on that note. Yeah, and that was another thing that I didn't consider. I didn't consider like TikTok and children because kids are on TikTok, like on TikTok, and they're posting mm-hmm. dance videos and they're posting their faces and stuff. So I didn't think about at first the problem with him recording them and then having their faces in the video. They should have been blurred out mm-hmm. If you're going to do any type of classroom content. Now, as far as them taking his hair down, I think that for me, this is the perfect example of how nigga shit and like institutions of under white supremacy do not mesh at all. Mm-hmm. I think that it was beautiful that like these kids felt comfortable being that close to him and they weren't pressured. Mm-hmm. They weren't like, I don't know. This was like a non-sexual contact with a grown man. Mm-hmm. and that they felt comfortable doing this, and they were like smiling and laughing and having fun in the video or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you said, like that is a very cultural thing. That is a very Black thing. Mm-hmm. If his gender had been different, or if they had been removed from the setting of them being at the school, I think that this would have been a completely different conversation. But because they are in this institution where children are supposed to be, the purpose of school is for children to be turned into factory workers. That's what the fuck they're supposed to do. They're supposed to do that, or they're supposed to go to prison. That's why the bells that release the children from class are the same as prisons and factories. That's the purpose of this, you know, kind of professionalism type barrier. And I'm not saying that adults should not have barriers with children. That's not what I'm saying. Yes, you're supposed to have those boundaries, but also if those girls felt comfortable and like he took steps to keep them safe, I feel like what happened was not grooming behavior. I feel like it was, I don't know, it just struck me as cute, you know? But I do understand how people are like, okay, but you also got to look at the optics. Like, mm-hmm. You are a grown man. And the way that teachers in general are making headlines right now for having inappropriate relationships with children, mm-hmm. on top of that, you being a man and y'all being famous for having inappropriate relationships with fucking everybody, you should know that, like, okay, this isn't going to come across well for people. So if they are going to take your head down, just leave that offline. Like, you know, don't post that on your TikTok or whatever. Another TikToker who I love, Deontay Kyle, he was like, if you got to start the video off with explaining yourself, you knew what the fuck was up.
That's real.
And so even though a lot of people don't see it as grooming behavior, a lot of people don't see anything wrong with it, it's still, there's a lot of trauma that people can project onto that situation. A lot of people have been through a lot of shit with older men. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people were saying like, oh, you know good and well those girls think you cute and stuff like that. I don't agree with pressing those feelings on those little girls. Who knows? Maybe they think you cute, maybe they don't. But that has nothing to do with the steps that he took to make sure that they felt safe and to make sure that they like are in an environment where they don't really feel pressure to, you know, I guess have like some type of physical contact with him.
Yeah. I think the other thing that's missing too is like, yes, it's the institution and there's a certain like level of appropriateness that you're supposed to maintain, but it's like for you to be a part of a child's village and to have that kind of an intimate relationship, especially a girl child, mm-hmm. you need to know their family in a real way. Right. Like, I don't, if I found out my child was taking out any man's hair, mm-hmm. I don't care the context. I would be deeply uncomfortable with mm-hmm. it. Now, if it's a man that I know and I'm comfortable with, like, you know, like Tez or something like
that. Yeah, absolutely.
It's fine. Like, that's nothing. Right. But, like, that aspect is also missing. Like, I'm sure he's not super close to these girls' parents or their cousins or
everything. Like four or five of them. Right.
And that is, I find it intimate, that type of act. I do think it's beautiful in the way that we're talking about, like, culturally, but that's, again, like I said, sitting on my granny's porch or my auntie's couch, like, that kind of thing. Like, somebody came from the neighborhood that we all know. That's different.
Right. Yeah, and that's what makes it so complicated, because you can't necessarily take the side of culture, and you can't, well, I don't want to take the side of institutionalism. You have to hold all of it, and in holding all of it, you can agree that, like, it is a cute or, you know, beautiful thing, and then also, nigga, you know Jews though. You know what I mean? Yeah, that whole thing. So.
As like a figure of authority in a school, you mm-hmm. have to know what is appropriate and what isn't. Mm-hmm. And what was deeply inappropriate about this was recording these kids taking your hair down and posting it.
Absolutely, yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. I don't. I think I would be uncomfortable if I found out that my child was doing that to a man that I didn't know. But if it was a teacher that she felt a connection, that they had a relationship with, I was aware of it and I knew this person on a level, I don't know if I would be upset with it. I would be upset with you recording it and putting it mm-hmm. on TikTok. But this kind of ties back to, like, my kids will never be in boarding school, because I need to know every single one of your fucking teachers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I need to be able to pull up at any given time.
And I need to know, like, what did you do today? Oh, I took Mr. So-and-so's hair down. Who? Because what are we, what?
Yeah.
Or I took my favorite teacher who I've known for years and years, and you know, and da-da-da-da-da, and like, it feels different. Mm-hmm. But again, the optics of it to the public, mm-hmm. they don't know your relationship with anybody. They don't know who you are.
Yeah. Exactly.
You could be a great person, you could be a terrible person. Right. You need to know that it's inappropriate to put that shit on the internet.
And now these little girls are at the center of this fucking firestorm of a debate, mm-hmm. and this video is gonna exist for the rest of forever. It's gonna
to end up in somebody's fucking thesis in like 10 years about digital footprints and shit. Like,
And we can just do a little call out to teachers. Don't post your children on social media or your students on social media.
Yeah.
Like, just keep their faces out of it. It's unnecessary. I don't even think you need to have their voices in it. Like, I understand it's cute. Just recap your day at the end and say, my student said this to me and it was funny. You don't have to record them saying it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's unnecessary.
I have seen the TikToks with the older kids, like the ones who are like, you know, juniors and seniors in high school or whatever. I think that that's something different too.
How old do you feel like these girls were?
I want to say they were like 14, 15. Yeah. I don't know. I think they were definitely on the younger side. They were no older than like maybe 15.
Yeah.
From what I saw.
I kind of disagree with you, Brando. I don't believe in any adult-led content featuring a minor.
Well, no, this is student-led.
Okay.
Yeah. So it'll be like, I don't know, them like teaching their teacher like a dance or something like that.
Yeah.
Or this is what it's like teaching like this specific demographic. And they'll like try to get the teacher to understand like certain lingo or something like that. You know, something cute like that.
That is cute.
I think stuff like that is cute. But like you said, don't post other people's kids without their permission. And then like having it be teacher led is like,
it's to me.
I think for me, this is definitely a citation and a struggle session.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a complete overhaul on like schooling and how it's a part of your community, because all teachers should be in community with their students, parents, all of them. I give it a citation and a revolution. So
I give it a side eye. Don't do that shit again.
Don't do that shit. But, and I'm sure this man learned his lesson.
Absolutely.
And if he is the person that he claims to be in the beginning of his video, hopefully he recognizes why people have this reaction. Mm-hmm. Because like you said, why would you have a disclaimer if you didn't think something was weird about it?
Right.
Yeah.
And hopefully other teachers learn as well. Keep those kids off your social media. And people making all this money. Even like, you know, Jabria.
That sounds so familiar. So
the one that was in Abbott.
The one on Abbott.
The guy
Jabria,
was like,
are you smart?
Are you smart? Yeah. Like, who is Adele? Beyonce. Correct. I love those videos. Those make me feel iffy.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the videos, and I think Jabria is so fucking cute.
Adorable.
All those kids were adorable, and I love that they were able to showcase their personalities. But I'm still, like, I can't say, like, don't put your kids on social media and then be okay with that as well.
I mean, the real issue is capitalism.
Yeah.
It's the same way I feel about child acting. I don't think it should exist under capitalism. Like, there's no way for that power dynamic to work. And that's the same thing with content. Anytime you're using someone that has less power than you for your content to make money, it puts them in an unsafe position.
Yeah.
Because are cute. I want to see the content, but not at that.
And it goes back into child labor laws. I mean, they talked about that with that that white family. Who was it?
Was it the Duggars?
No, well, no. But no, it was a YouTube family. It was a YouTube family, and the mom ended up going to jail for abusing the children.
Oh, yeah.
What was she talking about?
Yeah.
But they, like, child labor laws, there isn't anything for digital content.
Mm.
So there's got to be
some regulation.
Type of regulation.
Absolutely.
Just don't let them do that shit.
And if you do it to my kid, I will fucking find you.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see y'all's
parents. And I don't care.
It got hurt.
Seeing y'all's parents is going to be wild.
Oh, yeah. We're going to be different people.
Yeah, I know. I'm ready. Being a parent changes people. And I know. But yeah, I'm ready.
Well, on that note, let us know what you think. You can find us online at
Ina Killa on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, and Ina Killa Pod on Twitter. I fucked that up. Ina Killa Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, and Ina Killa Pod on Twitter.
And you can listen to us on Apple Music. You can listen to us on Spotify. You can hear us anywhere you find podcasts except for Facebook, because they're demons.
Bye, y'all.
Good night, baby reindeers.
Oh, no. Take that. I'm editing that out. No. Bye, y'all.